What is going on, beautiful people across the cosmos? Merry Christmas. And I think that it's been a very topsy-turvy kind of year. But nonetheless, we've gotten through it. And I just wanted to hop on and make a podcast episode about the future. This is usually around these times. That's where you tend to focus more on the future. And with the New Year's coming up, it's all about the change and transformations and resolutions and all that. So, I mean, it's perfect time to be discussing these things or even thinking about them. Because earlier today I was thinking about the meaning of the holidays, the meaning of communion and gatherings and pretty much coming together and enjoying time and making memories and things of that sort. And even the whole creation and the birth of different holidays and like how they come to be in the way that they are, with the different rituals and traditions and the aesthetics, the way they look, and you know, all the music and the festivities and the smells and the foods and all those kinds of things. Not just that, the ideas are very, I say they are the lifeblood of humanity in a large way, because of how extensive our imagination abilities are, the intellect, the intuition, the inspirational aspects of our consciousness, and how we delve into so much. It's almost an infinite amount of information that we've delved into, you know, as a species, as a creation, and that is actually what's molding the future. It's molding lifetimes of experience, not just for us, because of course the older you get, you know, you're going to pass on into the next realm or whatever, and you're going to leave something behind, some sort of legacy or progeny, right? And you would hope that what you left behind, in terms of if you have children or, you know, if you had a business or you had a mentorship kind of thing going on where you were helping people and giving advice or just, you know, having these kinds of off-the-cuff kind of rants and monologues and dialogues, all these kinds of things with different people across the whole planetary system that we're in. That's really the whole point here. And that's kind of the origin point of the holidays and why they exist. And it's surrounded around that communion, and which is communication, which is the relationships that we have with not just other human beings, but other life forms as well, that we may not be aware of, but that do exist. You know, different spirits, different kind of bacteria, fungus, life form. Because that's one thing that we've kind of forgotten, is that how sentient or how conscious the universe that we're living in is. It's not lifeless. It's not just a meaningless vortex that we're existing in. Everything has its own sort of frequency and vibration. That those are real things. And, you know, because everything has a chemical, molecular, atomic structure, and that's how it can exist and morph and transform and adapt to the environment around it, right? And so it's all, you know, based on these elements that we're discovering and that we have discovered, or that were put here, you know, at the point of the birth of the planet. Right? They were put here, not necessarily by us. We may be able to extract them and name them and do all those kinds of things, but in terms of the creation of them, well, that's some other kind of life form that was able to do that and give us the opportunities to exist the way we do. And so, anyway, 5 minutes in, I wanted to talk about the future. And I don't want to get too fanciful and into the clouds with this, but it very much is going that way. And even if it goes that way slightly and not completely, it's still going to go that way eventually, right? And there's these catastrophes and you know, rapture-like events, right? Extinction-level events that happen. And to us, to our limited, feeble consciousness, we're very fearful of those things because we're super vulnerable as this kind of life form, right? That's full of liquid and it's very much a delicate life form that's on the planet, and you know there's so much else here that could destroy us in an instant, pretty much. And so we're still we're this higher intelligent life form, although we're displaying a lower intelligence. I'd say at times we could be displaying that more so than our higher intelligence. So these higher cognitive abilities that we have, because we have a whole other compartment to our brain that allows us to think very deeply and to be inventive and creative and artistic, and not to be just this robotic, mundane, monotonous kind of mechanical being where you just go in, do the same thing every single day, and it's just on repeat. It's like we're able to build and create structures around us that make our lives more, a lot easier, but more also a lot more enjoyable, and allow us the leisure that it opens up the abilities for us to traverse, different dimensions of our consciousness. And I'd say that's an ancient thing. So the future, to me, when I talk about it, when I think about it, is actually very ancient, because it's like we wouldn't be operating on these limited systems that we're operating on today, with the educational systems and the financial systems and even the nutritional systems and things like that, and not being aware of what being a human's all about, because we've been programmed or conditioned to believe that we're just these dumb apes that roam around, and destroy everything, and we're always in fights and conflicts and arguments and can never get along and can never be productive together and contribute to creating an expansive society, a civilization that is actually hyper-intelligent. That's capable of knowing a lot more than maybe we should or that we've known in the past, because of different things that were set up in terms of the control and the blocking out of that information from the masses. Not just through the censorship of that, but through some sort of biological hampering or tinkering that's been going on with the genetics and with the brain and with the various organ systems, and how they're being pretty much destroyed. And even if it's a slow destruction, it's still being destroyed. And this decline to us does not appear as if it's happening super quickly, but it is. It's happening very quickly. Because the offspring, the younger generations, are pretty much, they're going to be sorting out all the damage that the earlier generations have done. And maybe they won't be successful at repairing it or solving the problems of the past. And this is how you have to realize that everything has an effect, every cause has an effect, and that's the universe we live in, so it's always going to be that way. But anyways, when I'm talking about the future And I'm talking about pretty much the technological advancements. But it's not just technology like cell phones and airplanes and electric cars and things like that, and portals that can blast you off and, you know, across the planet, you know, way quicker than a vehicle could or even an airplane could, right? Like these tube systems that they're creating. It's not just that. It's more of a communicative technology that I'm talking about. Because with the AI technologies that are coming, artificial intelligence, it's pretty much just automated systems. It's robotic systems. They're very advanced. They're more so into the quantum computing realm of things, meaning that they just work on a basis, on a time basis that's way more advanced than, I'd say, you know, an average, ordinary human consciousness is operating on. Especially with the conditioning and the degradations and things like that, what I was talking about with the organ systems. Like, I also believe that humanity has to learn, or they, if they will come to learn eventually, that they are way more advanced than they actually are letting on, or that they believe they are. Because a lot of it to humanity, to our neocortex and all this, the higher functioning, it's pretty much based upon the imagination and the ability to create and invent and to think far beyond, you know, limited kind of construct, where you only believe that this could happen because of someone telling you that, or you only have seen that happen, so you only can believe it could happen that way. But it's not that, because human consciousness is very malleable and it could change. And that we're learning that about the human brain, and how no matter how old you are, you pretty much can change your brain. You can change your relationship to this reality we live in. I mean, to an extent to which you can transform your complete identity. You can transform completely who you are or what you're capable of performing, and how productive you actually can be to society. And that possibly may be with creating some sort of new, better way of doing things, right? Because why are we doing things the same way we've always done them? From the origin point, I would say more so from that destruction point, where we got more into the machines and just industry and corporations and building a business, and not really seeing the humanity, they're seeing the people behind the business of the companies. And so there's no real, and the whole system's built like a whole business, right? Like a whole corporation. So the human beings that are roaming around in the cities and things like that, I mean, if they're unhappy, if they're depressed, if they're sick, right, which we're seeing now with all these different things that are being rolled out, different quote-unquote medicines, because, well, the human beings are sick. It's like the whole way that the people get sick is because their systems get weak and their minds become weak. And that, I mean, that's a real thing. And with the losing the memory and losing the ability to control your faculties, you know, with a lot of the mental health disorders and things like that, that's a large part upon the conditioning of the system. But not just that, the willingness of a certain type of human being that was allowing this deception to go on because of the comforts that it brought with it, the conveniences and the ease of living, right? Because you have to think about, I was thinking about this earlier, that pretty much everything's pretty much the same in terms of how it was in the past, about, let's say, 100 years ago, except there wasn't the advancements in terms of the technologies like vehicles and being able to travel here and travel there so quickly and so effortlessly, and having things be able to be delivered to you. And, you know, you basically had to do it yourself or know someone in the local area and have a relationship with that person if you wanted that quick ease of access without having to actually do it yourself, right? So it's like going out and getting the food, and you know, that was a daily thing. That wasn't just a, even if you had bulk and you had things, you know, prepared and things like that, it's like you still, you had to prepare the meals. It wasn't just, you know, driving down to the local fast food restaurant and, you know, shoveling food into your mouth and then driving back home and then doing the same thing the next day. It wasn't like that. You had to actually prepare the whole meal yourself, and you had to do that for the family as well. So that there was these different dynamics in terms of how family units worked, you know, and you just, it was harder. You had to put more effort into the daily things, like the just normal, regular things, like eating food and then educating yourself. You had to go out and buy a bunch of books and things like that, and there's local libraries and things, right? Or maybe you had some family member that had an extensive library and he could send them to you or something like that, right? Because the mailing system, it's, you know, I feel like that there's ancient ways that you would transport things back and forth, of course, right? But it just wasn't like, not everyone had a vehicle, not everyone had, you know, these television systems in their homes, and the ease of entertainment and things like that. There was different ways we entertained ourselves, obviously. And who knows? Maybe the humans back then were bored, right? Or not just, I don't think they were bored, because there's so much that, you know, we would be discovering and learning. And more so than that, there was a deep spiritual connection to this whole thing. So, you know how we sleep a third of our lives, right? And a lot of people say that, yeah, that, like, why do we do that? Why do we sleep literally a third of our lives? Like, just, you know, if you live to 100 years old, you're sleeping for like 33 of those years. And it's like, that's pretty much a whole lifetime you're just sleeping. You're sleeping your whole life away, right? And even if you, you know, in your younger years, you try to, you know, sleaze by that, you don't sleep as much, well, you're basically screwing up your lifespan. So you probably won't even live, you know, 100 years. You probably live more like 60, 70, 80 at best. And because sleep is so important, because that's where the regeneration, the rejuvenation of the inner systems, because every action that's going on is having an equal and opposite reaction. So there's so much stress that's being accumulated in the body, on the body, and not just that, but also in the mind. It's, the mind becomes very, well, the mind is never at rest, truly, but it can become burnt out in a lot of ways, where the human body is, I mean, if you get a good night's rest, I mean, the human body's ready to go, but a large part of it is actually dependent upon the mind and how energized the mind is. And, you know, it's also, it, of course, it's connected to the body, directly connected to the body, right? The mind and the body. And then you have the spirit. Well, the spirit is actually something that is going to be discovered more in the future. And it's going to be something real. And not just like something you read in a book or something like that, or something that you hypothesize or that you think of in your mind. It's like, oh yeah, we have a spirit. And no, I mean, like, the spirits are going to be, you're going to, the science and things of this sort, it's so limiting, very limiting, because it doesn't take into account the spiritual aspects of things. But the spiritual aspect of things, it's not, it is invisible to the naked eye, right? So you can't see it, but it's there, you know, it's always there. And this is why I was saying in the past, the beings would have been a lot more spiritual in their everyday waking life, meaning that they understand the principles that the universe is abiding by, and also them being a universe in and of themselves would understand the things that they've done, they do, would have drastic effects on the future. You see what I'm saying? So when I talk about the spirit, the spirit is, it's not bounded by time and limitation and emotion and all these kinds of things like the human body and the mind are. In a lot of ways, the mind could be trapped or in a matrix and not able to venture into these deeper realms that it pretty much it's like we're creating the future, right? So all the technologies and all the advancements, they're coming from a thought, right? They're coming from someone thinking about them, imagining about them, maybe possibly dreaming about them, right? Seeing them in a vision in their mind, and then being able to create them with the different elements that we have here with us, right? Or discovering other ones from other planetary spheres, right? Or deep in the ocean or whatever, discovering these substances, these molecules that are able to heal the body, or, you know, be put into this vehicle or this machine, and, you know, it's a lot more renewable and sustainable for the future, right? So it doesn't destroy our Earth and it doesn't destroy the human body systems. So it's a lot more symbiotic in that way. But, like, what I'm trying to explain is that the spirit is not bound by the physical parameters, right? And it's who you truly are. You know, like, you ask that question, like, who are you and who are you truly and what's your purpose here? And, well, as a spiritual being, you're pretty much always thinking futuristically. What's next? What's to come? Because you can also ask that about the past. Well, what has happened? Why has this happened? Why is this the way it is and not some other way? Right? Well, it was created to be this way. Well, why was it created to be this way and not some other way? And you ask these questions, and you can actually go on the quest. The question is the quest. A quest is an exploration. It's a journey. It's like a desire, right? And it's a way of traveling. That's a good way of thinking about it. If you wanted to discover Italy or Paris or China or Africa, well, how would you do that? Well, there's a way to actually physically go there, right? But there's also a way to spiritually go there in your own mind, in your thoughts, right? In different videos and images and movies that you can, like, look up on the internet, right? But you can actually physically go there as well. But you also can spiritually go there as well. And this is another dimension that I was talking about. But, like, this is what the future is going to be about. The ability to traverse space-time in a way that's not just limited to the physical body. You can travel there in a spirit body. And this is what we were doing in the past. And people, they can't seem to wrap their minds around it. But, I mean, some people can. But it's like, if you even think about, I don't know if you've heard about this, but it's called the Metaverse. And Facebook, the actual company, rebrands their whole, like, parent company to Meta, which means Metaverse. Or it stands for, like, this Metaverse, or this digital world that's going to be created, and that you'll be able to put these headsets on and these goggle systems on, or possibly in the future some sort of brain interface where you can tap into it through Bluetooth or some other sort of frequency. And you basically, it'll be completely immersive, where it'll be like you're physically actually there. Almost like if you have a dream and you have, like, a lucid dream, I mean. It's like that. But it's like a digital plagiarism of that. So it's like, we already have this super advanced system where we're able to basically travel or blast our consciousness out into some other kind of dimension or parallel life. Or maybe a completely alternate life or a universe, right? And it could be digital, it could be electronic, it could be, you know, a bunch of jelly forms, it could be like it could be a panda universe, it could be a you know, like these Christmas kind of archetypes, right? We have elves and, you know, gingerbread men and women and all these kinds of things, right? Reindeer and animals talking to you. This is the kind of thing that I'm talking about. It's like, but this is the universe. This is the infinity verse, right? Not just the universe, it's an infinity verse. It's literally, you can go anywhere you want. You could do anything you want, be anyone you want to be, experience anything you want to experience. And I mean, fully experience it that way. you know, and this is the technology that, you know, quote unquote, a human being like a species is trying to create, but they don't realize that if you didn't destroy the human bodies, the abilities for us to remember a past life or to travel into the future to be able to predict things before they happen. Of course, there's a lots of pros and cons to these things, right? But I'm saying that if there's a balance, if there's a teaching about the principles also about the cause and effect and the consequences that our actions have, about how, well, your spirit is actually eternal, so it's never going to die, and so you don't really have to even fear death, and sickness and disease is not even actually real. It's more like a mind or mental thing that's going on. And of course there's real physical things that can, you know, invade the body, but a lot of the sickness and disease of today is pretty much preventable through good nutrition and, you know, a good kind of self-talk or a healthier way of speaking to yourself and taking care of yourself, right? We talk about self-care, self-love. All that is taking into account the power of your mind over your physical body. And more so than that, once you tap into something like the spirit, which it's the mind, the body, and the spirit, right? Like, why is it a trinity? Why is it three? Why isn't it just one thing, right? Well, it's because human beings, we like to differentiate things. Because we do that even with different races and different species and different life forms on the planet. We like to categorize them and put them in their own kind of family, right? And we add on to that a bunch of traits and characteristics and qualities about these things so that we can get an understanding of what they are and where they come from, right? Or their relatability, right? Even with the genetics, a lot of the genetics is, you know, well, it's like, well, you can actually look up your DNA and see if you're related to this person or that person or this part of the world or that part of the world. And so it gives you an idea of where you actually come from or who you actually are or why you are the way that you are genetically and physically. And because a lot of these things are predetermined, right? And I was thinking about that earlier, about pretty much all life is, a lot of it's just predetermined. A lot of it's just pre-written, like a pre-written story. And that doesn't necessarily make the whole thing meaningless or just like ridiculous, but it actually makes it more meaningful to me, right? To know that even you played a part in that, right? As this spiritual being that's eternal, that pretty much you don't have any one point in time where you're going to exist and you're never going to exist this other point in time. You're existing simultaneously, infinitely throughout the entire cosmos. And so it's like I was saying earlier about you would be able to wake up in this other life that you are actually living, but that, and everyone else in that life or that universe or that simulated kind of virtual reality is living the exact same life that you're living in terms of the same timeline. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, for some reason you wake up in the dream and then people know you and they talk your name and they, it's like, I've never met you before. You don't even seem recognizable to me, but I know on some level that we've met, or that we're communicating, or somehow you know who I am or whatever, right? What you realize is that, and this is the fascinating part, they're actually playing you. They're playing a character in your universe. And this is the strange thing about it, because it almost becomes, at a certain point, it becomes like there's this one creator, but it's infinite. The creator is infinite. So I'm the creator, you're the creator. And we're all just playing our own little character in our own kind of created world. But that's going on infinitely. So that it's like, and it's all happening simultaneously. Like, it's all happening, what we talk about with time and things like that. It's like, it's so limited. I think that human beings actually came up with something that is kind of real, but it's not real in the grand scheme of things. In a universal grand scheme of things, time is not real. It's the farthest thing from reality, meaning of a limited space-time, right? It's not even real. And, like, this is why the spirit is so important, because it allows you to come to grips with this sort of this convoluted reality that we're living in, right? It was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And so you pick something that is more limiting because it's less frustrating, or it's easier, more comfortable, more convenient to believe that and to believe nothing else, right? But like I was saying, the mind is actually what's creating the belief. And the mind is what's creating the belief. It's based upon the past. So what if the past is recreating these vicious cycles for us because we keep believing what the past has brought us, but it's like the future also exists too. So it's like we're bringing the past into the future. So we're basically living these vicious cycles of trauma and drama and pettiness and destruction and not being knowledgeable, not learning and not educating yourself and not leveling up, not basically meeting the challenge straight on instead of trying to avoid it, just curve around it. It's like, well, no. It's like being a human being is very strange and very weird. And it's like even talking, you know, I'm this weird life form with skin and with eyeballs, and you know, I have this language that I basically was just handed to me. It's like, and from a child, like knowing that I could have learned any language in the universe, but I'm speaking this one. And also not just that, but that I have a brain, and that brain is malleable, it's plastic, so that actually I can change the brain that I have, so I can pretty much change like my fate or my destiny. And like, who is telling me this? Well, I'm learning it because I'm observing the reality, and also I'm picking and choosing what I want to learn and what I want to believe instead of just believing what's been handed to me, and thus I empower myself, right? I don't deceive myself, because a lot of the things in mainstream society or mainstream media are actually deceptive, right? It's like the devil's in the details. It's like if you listen to everything that some sort of media outlet's telling you, it's like, and you just take it wholeheartedly, like it's the truth, it's the divine truth, and you never question it or think about it, well, that's your whole life. You'll do whatever they tell you, so you're fully controlled. So it's like those telling about how the stories are pre-written, pretty much. It's because we make it so easily available or accessible to be pre-written in terms of how limiting our beliefs are about who we are and why we're here and what's our purpose, what's the meaning of this. And it's just like it's Groundhog Day syndrome, where you're just going over and over. It's like someone could write everything in your life from start to finish, you know, like pretty accurately. It's like, well, this person went to work for these amount of years, right? And they didn't really amount to much. I mean, that's a sad thing to say as well. Didn't really amount to much. Because every human being is very special. And they bring some sort of uniqueness. Some sort of thing that nobody else has. Right? And it's an infinite world. Or an infinite universe. So it's like everyone has something like that's magnificent within them. And I mean truly magnificent. I mean like if you tapped into it, it's an endless source of this inspirational or motivational or expansive force. And every single human being has that. And that, of course, there may be groups of organizations of people that have similar kinds of things, but everyone does it a little different. So everyone plays their own part, their own role in it, and it becomes beautiful. It's like a masterpiece. It's like a mosaic, right? And that's what Earth actually is. Every single species, every single life form on the planet is bringing their own sort of unique characteristics, and they're making the world what it is, right? So when you look at a beautiful sunset, there's so many things, the light, the water, the ocean, the refraction in the atmosphere, all these kinds of things that are working together, right? And you know, when you look up in the sky and you see the clouds and all these kinds of things, and you say, wow, look at God's paintbrush, right? He's just painting all this beautiful beauty in it and all this kind of stuff. But it's like, what if God, what we think about as God, is pretty much every single life form on the planet co-creating and co-developing this whole thing? It's like everything's working together. It's like God's not separate from his creation. God is his creation, right? But like God, because God is the creation, it's like, well, God does know everything, because there's no part of the creation that's like isolated or separated. It's all connected right there. So nothing can hide. Nothing can tell a secret. Nothing can lie. Nothing can lie. You can't be lied to. You can't be deceived. You know, at the depths of this whole creation, you can't be deceived. So like the origin point we talk about, where things come from, we pretty much all know where things come from, right? Except that how do you know these things unless you have some sort of deeper intuition or feeling about it, and then you begin to do your research from that point to see what makes sense. And not just that, to not put a limiting factor on it, right? But to place some sort of boundary, because this is the thing about it. The spirit is hyper-intelligent, hyper-sentient. So it knows that we're living in some sort of paradoxical reality where if this thing exists, this other thing shouldn't exist, right? It's like, they talk about this too, about even with the religion. It's like, well, if God is loving and in this, you know, amazing being, it's like, well, why is he killing things and destroying things? It's like, that's the whole part of it. And I know I was going to talk about the future and things like that, but it all to me is along these lines of what I'm talking about with the creation and with your true identity. And knowing that the future is created by you, and you're playing a part in that creation, although you think that, well, it's the elites, it's the rich people that they're creating the future. It's like, well, I don't know. I don't think I play a part in that. But it's like, you do, though, because you're going to experience the future. So you play a part in actually creating it to a large extent. Because, like, if these technologies come out, all these great advancements come out, right? Even these medicines that maybe will be able to expand lifetimes or your lifespan or your health, it's like you're going to have to play a part in that. You're going to have to do the research or do the studying, and or you're going to have to be willingly accepting of that when it comes. It's like, oh yeah, I actually like that. That's cool. Or that's amazing that that exists. I'm going to accept that into my reality. I'm going to allow that into my reality. So it's like you see, I'm saying you're playing a part in the whole thing. You can't separate yourself completely from it because you are a part of it. And that's the empowerment of it. It's like, so that's what I was saying earlier, that you can't be lied to. And that's about the whole ability to traverse into the future. Of course, there's things like privacy and free will and your own independence. Of course, those things are real. I'm not saying that those things aren't real, that they don't play a part. They play a large part in this reality we live in. But that's about learning the principles of things. So you have to learn that there's a polarity. And so the paradox, it should be taught in school. This principle of cause and effect should be taught in school. But not in the way they teach it to us. And it should be taught in a much more, I would say, just more expansive way, because it's the whole world that we live in. Things are going on because we're causing them to happen. You know, like, and it gets strange too. It's like even the weather, like, people don't believe that they can make weather, like, change, like, with their mind, right? It's very strange. Very strange. These ancient traditions, they had these dances that they would do, and they would actually cause it to rain. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen a movie where, you know, the rain just comes pouring down on one person, and it's like nobody else is raining around them. No, like, no one else has rain coming down, but it's like this one person has a stream of rain that's coming down, right? And it's like, oh, God's spiting me, you know, it's like only raining on me. But that's like what I'm talking about. If things like that are possible,
even slightly, or maybe if they've only happened like once or twice, right? There's these miracles that can happen. But the thing is, miracles are happening every second, every instant. And so it's the world we're living in, it's far beyond what we even been able to define, right? And if you talk about it in any other kind of context, any other kind of way, it's more like poetic, or, you know, it's just, you know, it's some sort of exquisite or extravagant way of explaining something that's very simple and very rudimentary, meaning it's very simple, you know, but you can make it sound like it's this great grandiose thing, but it is, it's simultaneously is great and amazing and unexplainable, but it's also the only opposite side of that. It's simple, it's able to be defined and explained to certain extents, right? Like certain experiences you have, you know, you can find the words, sometimes you can't find the words, but you can find the words to explain it, to relate it to other people, you know. You could do that through, you know, singing and dancing and, you know, playing a game, right? Different ways of getting your point across or your experience of that across, right? So, I mean, the future's amazing, but it's only if you make it that way. Because here's the thing about this. The world we're living in, no matter the direction it takes, it's going to take some sort of direction, right? Like overall, with everything that's going on, with every other being in the planet, it's going to take some sort of direction, right? And not just human beings, I'm talking about other kind of life forms, other kinds of sentient beings that are living here with us, but they're far more advanced, they're very spiritual, and they're just... They're more aware of the construct that we're living in, and so they can see things before they happen. Like what I was saying about the whole time lock, right? Because the secret is time, but time is not a secret, because time is literally right before your eyes. It's happening. Time. Seconds are going by, milliseconds, nanoseconds, milliseconds, right? Minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, they're going by. They're just, literally, they're just blowing right past you, right? They say time flies. It's like, oh, life is so short. It's like, that's the whole point. Life is so short. What is it? What is life all about? You know, and this is the crazy thing about it. In order to discover that, you need to have time. You need to be able to relax into the present moment long enough to discover what it's all about, right? To be able to experience these abilities I'm talking about that you possess inside your being, to be able to say, oh my, everything, I've seen everything. You know, I've seen 10 lifetimes ahead of schedule, right? It's like, well, that's a hack. There should be no way I'm able to do that, right? I should be this limited being that's living here. But it's like, you're not. But you're not that. You're not this limited, finite, little physical body that's like, you know, and crying and bleeding and being hurt and just deceived and manipulated and brainwashed and betrayed and, you know, abandoned and disappointed all the time and frustrated and confused and feeling lost, feeling stuck, feeling sick, feeling abused, all these things going on. You're not any of that. That's the best part about this. This is what I'm talking about. And it's time. It's just time is driving us insane. Because it's a time lock, like I said, and there's no way of getting out of the time lock, because you're in it pretty much forever. So you have to discover the time lock and harmoniously be productive in your own creation. That, because that's the difficult part. It's like, if you think about something in a certain way, it's going to be that way. That's the trick. But you're doing it to yourself. So there's no, like, the spirit, they don't care about you not saying that, I don't believe that. The spirit doesn't care what you believe, because the spirit knows everything. Because the spirit exists, it exists in that simultaneous slot I was talking about, where it's not limited in the physical body at all. Once the body dies, all that's left is the spirit. Because you could be thinking and imagining and going on all these different trips, right? But you're not the physical body no more. So who are you? What are you? Right? If you're just this physical body, and there's this little bit of consciousness, whatever this consciousness is, right? Because you can't look at it in a lab and look at it through a microscope to see what it is, right? So it just blasts into a human body. It's just random, at random, right? You just blast in some random body. And you're this little baby, you're crying, and you're hungry, and whatever. You crapped yourself or whatever. And it just goes on forever? Like, when does that stop? When does that stop happening? That random process of being blasted into some sort of physical body? Because it's not just human bodies as well. You could be blasted into, like, some koala bear or some panda or some whatever, some monkey or whatever. So your consciousness, whatever your consciousness is, just blasted into that, and then you're locked into that for a period of time, and that just keeps happening, right? So bang, 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 forever. You know, it's like, but what if by just, I don't know, the grace of God or whatever we are, whoever we are, you get to choose where you go next. Just imagine. Imagine if you had a time machine. You can go wherever you want. But it's not you. Like, you're this physical body, and you have a name, and you have all these conditions and things going on with your body, and maybe this hurts, maybe that hurts. That's not who you are, though. You're the spirit having the experience. Or you're the spirit that's going through all this stuff, and you're evolving. And you get to make the decision where to go next. You can hop into a different time machine and literally time travel your way to wherever you want to go. I mean, wherever you want to go. And it's like, to you, he's like, well, where would I go? I don't know. You go anywhere. You can go anywhere. You can go right back into the person you are right now. Right? It's like the universe is perfect. So, like, you see all this happening right now? And, of course, I think that things can potentially go wrong. I don't think that spirits are necessarily incapable of making mistakes. But it's like that what we think of as a mistake is, it's a lot different, I'm imagining, right? But who knows? Maybe it's the same thing. You know, maybe making mistakes is a part of the whole learning process. Who knows? I mean, if there's no such thing as time, I mean, it doesn't matter really, does it? You know, like, if you get 100 years max here, even if you get shorter, maybe 50, 60, 70 years, 80, it's like, that's like a long time. If someone told you at the age of 5, you're going to live till you're 80 years old, enjoy it, because it's just going to be gone in a blink of an eye. And then you'd be off to the next. You'd just be like, what are you talking about? You know, you're like 5 years old. You can't even understand what this person's saying. And you watch this, you know, you just watch this movie or whatever. And this person, you know, they went up to heaven or whatever and have all these conversations with these people in heaven or whatever. You know, these stories and these movies and stuff. And you're like, man, imagine, like, that's what's heaven. Like, imagine heaven's like that or whatever, right? But it's like, you're just a child, just a kid. Like, you don't know if that's true or not. right? And everyone you talk to and try to explain it to, it's like, nah, don't think about that too much, kid. You know, you'll mess up your head, you know? And I just... excuse me. It's just, it's very fascinating. The future, it's truly whatever you make it. You know, say life is what you make it. It is truly whatever you make it. And there's no limitation. There's like no limitation. It's like, but this one thing I will talk about is very important. Because like I said, like I was saying earlier, it's time. Time is the thing that locks you and binds you, right? But what is time? Well, time's your physical body. So it's your physicality that's keeping you stuck, right? Like the reason you can't blast off in this spiritual being that I'm talking to you about, first of all, because mentally you're conditioned and programmed to think that you couldn't do that, or that that's not possible because you're stuck here on the physical ground and you have to be here and now, and there's things out there, they're scary, and it's like they're going to destroy you, and they're going to attack you. So it's like stuff like that that's like in your consciousness. So it's like you're not going to even believe that, even if it's true. So you're going to be stuck here anyways in the physicality, right? Like imagine if you saw someone in a vehicle, in a car, right? And they're locked inside the car. They're not locked inside the car because they can press the unlock button. I mean, if they really had to, they could crack open, you know, bust the window and they get out, right? But imagine someone's in the car and they're locked in the car. It's just them though in the car. And you're like, no, just press the unlock button, you know? But they can't comprehend what you're saying. They don't know what you're saying. Because they've never been in the car before. Maybe it's their first time in the car. But even then, if they slow down and just breathe and like actually see what you're doing, see where you're pointing, and you'd be able to see press this, do this, hit it, unlock the door, open the door, and then you're free. It's like, it's just like that. It's like, well, I'm just someone saying like, hey, don't be afraid of like being inside the vehicle, of being inside the car. You can get out. You know, it's like, hey, the physical body, yeah, it sucks. You know, yeah, it gets sick and it gets all weak and all these crazy things happen to it. But it's like, but don't be afraid. It's like, you'll be able to get out eventually and get another one. You know, like this, we have to start thinking about the abundance in the universe. There's no limitation in the universe, right? It's like the worst thing that you could think of. You can think of something greater. It's like, that's what I'm saying. The switch happens in the consciousness. It happens in the spirit body. You can make the switch whenever you want. You know, and at some point you're going to have to move beyond the switch, because you have to be aware that the cause and effect, that principle, it's based upon what you decide, right? So it doesn't have to be physicality, cause and effect. It could be something else, right? And that can have a completely more drastic effect on, you know, your whole life or whatever throughout the you know, eternity. But it maybe not. And does it any of this even matter? Like everything I'm talking to you about, it's like, does it have any plausibility or any tangibility? Can you actually grasp it and see it and experience it? Yeah, absolutely. You can. That's what I want to talk about it. It's like I'm talking about the future, because this is the future human being that has to become the spectrum again. It has to become the full rainbow, not just one color, not just one physical limited race or type of person. It has to become the spirit again. The spirit's infinite. Spirit's eternal. The spirit is able to imagine and conceive and build anything. So that's what I'm... When you see these utopian-like societies, the only spirit beings that are connected to their spirits would be able to create something like that. There could be civilized societies that they work well together. They're done with warring and conflict and deceiving another one for just profit, for just money, you know? So, like, everyone has a beautiful home and, you know, like a society like that, if you can picture that in your mind. Like, there's no, like, stress and fear and worry and stuff like that. Because you would think, like, well, that's impossible. How would that happen? But it is possible, like with the technology we even have today, and with the information, the knowledge out there, there's so much things you could do to like heal and repair and regenerate your body and even your mind, like from trauma and the tragedy and stuff that goes on. There's so much, but like we're not doing any of it. We're not into any of that kind of stuff. We even kind of see that stuff as being obscure or weird or like some part of some sort of cult or some sort of spiritual like wickedness type of stuff because of how we've been programmed and conditioned, right? But like the secret to a good life, it's figuring out what it's all about. And what is it all about? It's about time. That's the hack on this. The whole thing is time. Once you figure out what time is, so what is time? Time doesn't actually exist. It's fake. Right? Well, because I was thinking, I'm 25 years old, right? It's like, what does that mean? It's like, okay. Well, the sun, right? I've been moving around the sun or the whole planet, whatever they say, right? 25 times. Boom, 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 right? So the sun went up. Bang, 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 bang. Sun went down. Sun went down. And it happened for like 12 months, right? So that's all that means, right? But like, why does my body feel like get old? Why do I have these things happen? It's like, oh, well, that's a part of the whole conditioning. But also it's a part of the physical conditioning as well, because the whole thing I'm talking about with the programming, conditioning, and deception, that's what I'm talking to you about, is that's happened a long time ago. Like even with the physicality. Right, like when I was telling you about your spirit, you could do all these things. You're not really physical at all, like at all. That's the strange part about it. You're locked into physicality, but you're not just purely physicality. And I would say that even once you become the spirit, things, the effects that they have are actually, they're less, they're minimal, because like there's more of a drastic effect that they can have. You see what I'm saying? So it's like if you knew you were connected to everything spiritually and you still hated everything and you still despise everything and you still want to destroy everything, or you still want to be addicted to all these things that aren't good for you, because those things would still exist, because, I mean, this is an infinite space that we're living in, you know, but maybe there's locks and bounds on those worlds that you could live in or that you could experience, right? So maybe there's a boundary to how much greatness you can experience because of how, the life you're living here, whether how limited or mediocre you may be, or feel that you are, you're not that at all. You're not. And like the mainstream society tries to tell you that, oh, if you don't have one of these careers, or if you have, you don't, if you're not known for this, that, the next, that you're not actually special, you're not actually worth anything. But it's like they don't teach you about anything, about how to be extraordinary. Nothing. Nothing. It's the same plot being taught to every single human being. It's like, how could that work for every human being, though? We're all a little bit different. It's like you'd have to have a different approach to this whole game, right? So they have to be educational. They have to be financial. It's like not everyone could just go to work for 40 hours and literally do that for their whole entire lives. Like just work some job that they don't really like, that stresses them out, right? Like, they can't even experience this life. Like, if you sat every human being down, you said, what do you truly want to do with your life? How do you want to live? Like, everyone would say, like, well, not everybody. I mean, because a lot of this is pre-written. I wish I could explain it and just say it and, like, not have to say it again. But, like, I keep confirming and reaffirming these things to myself. It's most of this stuff is just pre-written. It just keeps happening over and over again. It's like a recording, like on a cassette tape. It's like you just keep playing that recording and you play it back. It's like a YouTube video. You play it, you just play it back. It's a whole thing. Maybe you hear something a little different, but it's like it's the same thing happening forever. Unless you change it, unless you wake up out of the matrix and then you change it. And that's the secret. You have to realize what time is, and then you have to be like Doctor Strange and change time, change the fabric of space-time. You have to be able to reach in to this world, this quantum computer, and literally change your whole identity, change the way you view it, change the way you perceive it. And then you have to also help other people to do that same thing. Because once you realize that, everybody else becomes you. So with that said,